It is Easter week, and so I thought it was only fitting that we look at a one-verse wonder from the events of Jesus' crucifixion. And so this morning we'll be at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. And there we learn about an interesting character, the wife of Pontius Pilate. And she's a true one-verse wonder. One verse, no other references. That's it. So here's what we read in Matthew 27:19. It says, "While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.'" Our God speaks. He calls out to each person on this earth in an attempt to reveal himself to them. As Christians, we have accepted the call of God to salvation. We've accepted the call of God to serve. And we've accepted the call of God to share his Son with a lost and dying world. That's what it means to be a Christian. But God is not through speaking to us. He continues his communication to us through many different avenues, through his word, through his spirit, and by some other ways we're going to see this morning. And so in our personal life, if we're not hearing God speak regularly, then we need to figure out why we're not hearing from him, because it is quite possible that we're simply missing the messages that he is sending out to us. So as we look in the Bible and we see again and again and again, whether it was the one-verse wonders or the Christophanies or anything like that, we see, okay, consistently God desires to speak to the people of the earth. And so if in our own lives we feel like, well, God's not speaking to me, he's not directing me, then we have to figure out why we're not hearing from him, since we know he's faithful to send messages to us. At the time of our verse, Jesus had already been illegally tried by the Jewish authorities the night before. And now he had been delivered to Pilate, who was the Roman governor of the region, and he had the power to punish and execute on behalf of the Caesar. And so Matthew, in this gospel, points out earlier in the chapter that when morning came, the Jewish leaders brought Jesus in to the judgment hall. And so it's very possible that Pilate had been awakened from sleep very early in the morning in order to come in and preside over this next trial of Jesus Christ. And so Pilate sees this guy and he questions Jesus as to whether he was the king of the Jews or not. In answer to that question, Jesus said, "It is as you say." But then after that preliminary question, he didn't say one word. Not to Pilate, not to his accusers, not in his own defense. He was silent before them all. Now, we obviously don't want to identify with Pontius Pilate, but we can learn this morning about how God speaks to us and how we can search for his leading, so that we do not become people who feel as though we never hear from the Lord. Because in this verse we see God speaking to people, and we know he continues to speak to us, his people, even more. And so many times we feel like we get to a point in life where God isn't sending us any messages. He isn't giving us direction. He isn't giving us any speaking on an important issue or a trial or just in general. And when that happens, I think it's natural for us to sort of envy those biblical characters like Moses or Abraham or Samuel, to whom we read about God speaking audibly. These guys where, you know, the Lord just said things to them, you know, directly. You know, the God called out to Samuel as a child. And the Bible says that, you know, there had never been a man like Moses where God spoke to him, you know, as a friend, almost face to face, as it were. And so sometimes we can become envious of those guys. And in many ways, it seems like, you know, that would be a better arrangement. I could hang around, kind of live my life and pray, and eventually God will audibly, directly speak to me out of heaven. Now, of course, we understand that we have a much better situation than those Old Testament saints. One verse, you know, out of many that we could cite is John 14:26. It says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," Jesus speaking, "he will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." And so instead of waiting for God to come and speak to us audibly, as, you know, some of these guys in the Old Testament had, we have a moment by moment communication with God. And we enjoy that kind of relationship that the believers before the day of Pentecost could never have. And so if we can grasp what it means that the third person of the Trinity is living within us right now, then our prayer lives and our devotional lives and just our physical lives are going to be quite revolutionized. Now, still, there are those times where it seems as though God is silent. And so if we know that he is a God who loves to reveal, and on one hand, and on the other hand, we feel sometimes like he's not speaking to us, then hopefully we can learn to listen more effectively by studying his word, and particularly this passage. And so back up in verse 19, it says, "While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.'" Pilate's wife's name was probably named Procula. That is the name that is given to her in the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha is not inspired. The books of that collection are not part of our canon. They're not inspired texts. However, they still are ancient historical texts. And so we can guess, because of that record, that her name was probably Procula. There is no other reference to her in Scripture, but when we look back at church history and tradition, we do get a little bit more information. For example, Origen, who was the second century scholar and theologian, he suggests that she became a Christian sometime after the Lord's crucifixion. And in fact, the Eastern Orthodox and Ethiopian Orthodox churches also carry that tradition that she became a believer, and they have even sainted her for her life after her conversion. Now, here's what we can see in our text, because our text is our authority. One night, she had a dream about Jesus. Two, she viewed Jesus as a righteous and just and innocent man. Three, she was affected enough to impress upon her husband that he should not condemn Jesus to death, but that he should have nothing to do with him. And so let's make some comparisons between Pilate, his wife, and ourselves. First, Pilate and his wife were brought face to face with the person of Jesus Christ. As a member of the Judean high society, Procula and Pilate would no doubt have heard of Jesus of Nazareth over the last 3.5 years. They would have heard about the amazing things that he said, the incredible things that he did. They would have heard reports that he was raising the dead and healing the sick, that he was a man unlike any other man. And whether Procula held this view before her dream or whether she adapted it after her dream, she knew that Jesus was a just man, meaning that he was righteous and innocent. She suffered in her dream because, having been brought face to face with the Messiah, she was found in that group of people who were in rejection of Jesus Christ. His deity and his righteousness revealed to her that she was not safe in her current spiritual state, and so she suffered under the weight of that conviction. God doesn't simply want to reveal to us who he really is, but he also desires to reveal to us who we really are ourselves. We are people who are sinful and empty and spiritually bankrupt, but for his grace. We are people who need correction and direction and transformation. And so as we see God revealed in our lives, and as we see God revealed in his scripture, it should also reveal to us ourselves. As we spend time with the Lord, we should understand more and more of our inadequacy and our sinfulness in light of his grace. And therefore, we should find thankfulness and worship growing more in our lives as we learn about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, that he is the pure and righteous King who died so that I could be saved. And so God doesn't just say, "Here's who I am." He also gives us his word and gives us his spirit to say, "And here's who you are. And this is why you need me. This is why you need salvation, because you are a sinner in desperate, desperate trouble without my help." And so Pilate and Procula, they didn't respond very well to Jesus' revelation, either Pilate face to face or Procula in her dream. In fact, Procula gets out of bed that morning and she sends a message to her husband saying what? "Have nothing to do with that just man." Not, "Hey, we need to repent and follow Jesus." Not, "I think this guy is the Messiah." Not anything like that. Instead, we just see a response of rejection. She says, "Have nothing to do with this guy." When God speaks to each of us, we must respond with either acceptance or rejection. Those are our two options. Now, we're not unrepentant sinners like Pilate and his wife were at this point in time. However, we can be unrepentant saints in our life. As God speaks to us, we can harden our hearts and reject those things which Christ wants for our lives and with our relationships with him. And so it is a choice that we have to make whenever God speaks. Am I going to accept this and apply it, or am I going to reject it? It is a mistake to view our Christianity as simply a destination. You know, Christianity is not just, "I end up in heaven." Yes, our great hope is heaven and the resurrection from the dead, but our faith is about a lifetime relationship, a lifetime work, a lifetime transformation with Jesus Christ here on the earth. So Christianity isn't just the afterlife, it's also the here and now as well. For that reason, God continues to speak to us. That's why after salvation, the Lord's not done with us. That's the beginning. And so, you know, if we ever feel like we have a sort of turnkey Christianity where, well, I'm saved now and then that's it. God doesn't speak. I'm just waiting it out until I die. And then I get to heaven and then that's great. That's not Christianity of the Bible at all. And so God continues to speak because he has a continual work and a continual relationship and a continual transformation for each and every one of us. He speaks in great volumes to us about our hearts and our decisions, about our relationships, about our calling. And when God speaks, we choose to either accept those things or we choose to reject them. That's the only two options. In Procula, I would say that we see an example of a rejecting heart. A heart that takes what the Lord has shown her and then says, you know what? I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that right now. I've got other things going on. I'm just going to table that for now. And we know that that is an attitude of rejection. That is a place of rejection, not submission. Now, the second application that we can make from this couple, Pilate and Procula, is this. Are we recognizing when God is speaking to us? In this little scene, we see that God spoke to Pilate and Procula in a variety of ways. Jesus spoke directly to Pilate. God spoke to Procula in a dream. Many scholars believe that Pilate's wife would have probably been Jewish in order to, you know, kind of have a cultural understanding with the people, in which case she would have been heard from God through his word growing up as a Hebrew. Now, as Christians, we know that God speaks to us powerfully through the Bible. That is our inherent authority in life. God speaks also by his Holy Spirit. We know that to be true from the Scriptures. God speaks to us through other Christians. He speaks through creation. He speaks through metaphor and parables. He speaks through those he calls to teach. He speaks through visions and dreams. Our God is a God who speaks. There's no denying that as we look at our own history with the Lord, and especially as we look in the Word, there's no denying that God is a God who speaks. And so our part is to simply listen. We listen by reading the Word. We listen by praying throughout the day. We listen by spending time in godly activities with other believers and talking about the Lord with them. We listen by regularly being taught the Word of God. But we must also remember that God can speak to us through more unusual things, like dreams or visions, if he so desires. So when you go to bed tonight, think about the fact that perhaps God is going to speak to you as you sleep. Perhaps this evening, God is going to show you some phenomenal thing that will change your life forever while you lay unconscious. That should help you get to sleep, right? In all seriousness, though, if we live with a heavenly and biblical mindset, then we're going to discover more and more that even the most mundane parts of our day can be used for God's glory, and they can be used for God to speak to us. We will discover that Jesus is revealing more about himself to us all the time as we have ears to hear. That's what he would say when he would speak a parable. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he meant by that is, hey, if you want to know more about me, come and listen to what I have to say. Mm-hmm. We will discover, if we have that mindset, that there is no need for worry, there's no need for strife, there's no need for anxiety. But Jesus, instead, has delivered us from those things by giving us wisdom and giving us power and giving us more of himself through all these wonderful avenues that he's told us about in the Bible. God is faithful to speak, he's faithful to instruct, he's faithful to call and to reveal, even to someone as unrepentant as Pontius Pilate. So how much more so those of us who love the Lord and have said, yes, I want to follow you, I want to serve you, I want to know you more. God is calling to unbelievers, he is speaking to believers all day, everywhere in this world, he's doing this. And so today God has a message for you and for me, and he has sent it to us so that we might have a more abundant life, so that we might have a more transformed life that is lived above the pettiness of earth and on the glorious and purposeful plane of heaven. And so, here's what we need to apply. Don't be like Procula, who in this instance rejected the message of God. Don't be like Pilate, who ignored the message of God right in front of him in favor of the opinion of the worldly multitude who he wanted to please. Instead of responding those ways, we can remember that our lives are on God's mind right now, and he is speaking to us that we might have and share more of Jesus wherever we go. Amen?